Hello, everyone, and welcome to Linux to the Rest of Us, episode 160. This is a show about Linux, all sorts of topics, hardware, software, anything in the news, anything that we deem worthy to come on the show. We just bring it, and we talk about it, and then you can listen to it. My name is Cody Cooper, a.k.a. Supercoob, and I am joined once again by my good friend, the Door-to-Door Geek, a.k.a. Steve McLaughlin. How's it going, Door?
Hey, Cody. This is episode 160. This is a big number, right? A milestone?
Yes. It's so many dozen. It's a lot of dozen is what it is.
Yes. More than a baker's.
Yeah, definitely more than a baker's. But more importantly, it's a very important day in history. And I think you know what I'm referring to when I say that.
If I say yes, are you going to ask me what that is?
It is it is June 9th, which is 6-9, which means it is officially Bill and Ted Day. So be excellent to one another, everybody.
Keanu Reeves before The Matrix.
That's right. Yes. And Alex Winter before Freed.
Before what?
We need to hang out more, Door, outside of this show, and then get you educated on some early 90s cult cinema.
Yes, sir.
Maybe that's a new show. We'll just call it the Early 90s Cult Cinema Podcast.
Let's
at least
do a
pilot. Can I get the commitment to do that? Okay,
yes.
Great.
As long as Flying Rich is flying us.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and I'll even let him do a 10-second voice ad about his favorite gun during that show.
Oh, you just made him tingle all over.
Oh, well. Okay, well, right off the bat, I do want to remind people that while they are running out, we still have some of our Think Penguin coupons. If you go to thinkpenguin.com, they have open-source hardware, Linux computers, laptops, towers, and some smaller what would you call them? The smaller machines?
I call them micro desktops.
Yeah. The nice thing about this is that Linux is guaranteed to work on it because they went out of their way to make sure not only will multiple distros install on it, but they go to the great length of making sure that every piece of hardware, you know, the network card, video, everything is 100% Linux compatible. So even if you get it pre-installed with a distro, throw another distro on there, completely different distro, it's going to work guaranteed. We do have some coupons left available for thinkpenguin.com. If you are looking into purchasing a new machine, whether it be a home desktop or a mobile laptop, please send an email to podcast@linuxfortherestofus.com with Think Penguin in the subject heading, and we will give you one of those coupons.
Yeah, I will say I'm at least one email behind in giving out those coupon codes. I have to reorganize how I was saving them because I want to make sure I don't give out duplicates to where they don't work. That would be really bad of me. And I will say you can go right now today and they have a coupon code. It wouldn't shock me if you could stack these coupon codes up to save even more money. But if you go for a desktop or a laptop, I will say they literally have computers starting out at $399. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is quite a fair price for computers. Now, their micro PC is basically Intel NUC, but it's not the cheap low-end NUC. It's definitely a little bit higher at the end of a NUC. It's more than their $399 price point. But I will say, don't forget the main reason to go here is to support open companies, to support companies supporting more than just Ubuntu, supporting companies that support Linux as a whole. Chris at Think Penguin, I gotta say, is a guy who I think deserves a little bit more credit. Again, he's still not paid me a single dime for advertising, and that's okay, because the more attention I get him, the more I think I help Linux in general.
Very cool. All right, Door, what do we got going on this week?
Well, actually, we had more than a couple things going on. First thing I wanted to jump into was a voicemail here, and this is a follow-up voicemail, actually.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I believe it was a voicemail. We had at least two shows ago about NVIDIA graphics. Oh, what's it called?
Optimus,
thank you. Now, real quick for the new guy. NVIDIA Optimus is essentially hybrid video. It's two video cards in one, lower Intel graphics and higher NVIDIA graphics. And on Windows-based systems, your desktop seamlessly, without you even knowing it, can change from Intel to NVIDIA to Intel to NVIDIA back and forth 30 times, and you will never see the change. It automatically notices when you need more video power or when you're looking to conserve power, because this is mainly a laptop video card, by the way. In Linux, at best, we have had very shaky support for this in the past. He sent an email, and we really didn't have much of an answer for him, because Bumblebee, which was the open tool for it, really is also completely hit and miss.
Mm-hmm.
But we got a follow-up email
just,
here.
He just simply wasn't seeing the kind of performance with Bumblebee that he would have in the native Windows client.
Right, exactly. Okay, here you go.
Yes, I just wanted to adore, I'm sorry, this is Dustin, somewhere in Indiana. I had called, and my call was on the show a couple episodes back regarding the use of Linux Mint and the NVIDIA Optimus drivers. I do appreciate the answer that was given. To give you guys an update, stay on the bleeding edge of Linux Mint, if I like to see the new stuff. So I installed Linux Mint 17, and I believe the fine folks that are behind Linux Mint have addressed the issue, and now the NVIDIA Optimus drivers appear to be fairly well supported within Linux Mint. So I just kind of wanted to give you guys an update. Keep producing good shows, and I'll continue to be a listener, and I appreciate all that you guys do. Thank you very much. Bye.
Well, I'm glad to hear the update. Dor and I were going to talk about this on the show. Before the show, we were unaware that Linux Mint had a bleeding edge.
I was utterly unaware Linux Mint had a bleeding edge. I will say, I kind of don't expect the fact that it's working to be a Linux Mint thing per se. To speak bluntly for a split second here, from everything I gather, Linux Mint does not actually do a lot of quote-unquote core development like this kind of thing. It typically works on very end-user-facing tools like the Mint updater, the backup tool, the image, the USB disk creator kind of tools, not video drivers. So the fact that it's working in Linux Mint tells me it could be Linux Mint doing a better job of base configuration of the card, but the actual support is coming from Debian, I'm sure of. It's very good news. My buddy Knucklehead Tech, who also has, I believe he still has the Optimus powered laptop, he's going to give it a try in Linux Mint and see if his results are similar. I doubt it still works completely equivalent as it would on Windows, but if it's at least partially working, that's better.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, all the distributions will want to have something like this in there with, you know, Linux gaming becoming more prevalent in the marketplace.
Yeah, well, yes, and being based off Ubuntu, which Linux Mint is, I mean, it's like me saying I'm a American. Why, yes, I am an American, but in fact, I'm Scottish, Irish, German, Russian, Hungarian, Swedish. I'm almost everything. So for me to say I'm American is almost being a little disingenuous to my heritage and my roots. Linux Mint is Linux Mint, but it is Ubuntu, which is Debian. So I would expect anything coming from Debian to get much better with gaming support in general because of the genius move by Steam, in my mind, of giving every Debian developer complete access to everything on Steam. So it's in a Debian developer's best interest to get it working as good as possible because he can play every game for free.
Well, here's the question, Dor. How can we sign up to be Debian developers?
I don't think it's just a submit your email here kind of thing. I think you actually have to devote code. You have to submit enough code to Debian to earn that credibility to be labeled a developer.
Well, I can submit code all day long. It doesn't mean it's going to be relevant to any sort of, you know, Debian-based project. But
well, I'm sure if you go to, I believe it's Debian.org, maybe if you... Oh, Debian.org, yeah. Maybe if you... bring them a lot of coffee, they might do it. I don't know.
I could just I could put some like baby powder in my hair and pretend to be you and just like send them photos saying, you know who I am, right?
Baby powder in the hair, what's that supposed to mean?
I have baby powder here because of the babies. Let's move on. Thank you very much for sending in that follow-up email to update us on the status of that. And I'm glad it is working for you, because much like what we were saying in that initial episode, is that it completely stinks. And to buy a laptop with that hardware in it, thinking, okay, well, I'll be able to use this on Linux. It can differentiate between it when it needs to use the Intel-based graphics and then the NVIDIA-based graphics. But it just wasn't working under Linux at all, which, of course, is another great reason to go with ThinkPenguin.
Absolutely. And I'll say this, 7076 Podnut, send us, I'm literally going to do a call out here. More than a couple shows that I listen to literally do viewer question type episodes. Honestly, I like the idea of doing it because, one, we're giving listeners what they want. We're answering them directly. But to me, the big plus is we don't have to do any extra work. Dare I say, we get their questions, we read their questions, we answer their questions. Any work we do is in conjunction with direct support, dare I say, which, okay, time out.
Okay, here we go.
This is a flashback, quite literally, to around 95 or 6, or
I'm the year say. Of the episode.
The year, 1996.
Okay, I was alive then.
I was drinking lots of alcoholic beverages back then. In my parents' house, in my bedroom, with my HP multimedia quote-unquote computer.
Preach it.
I was hanging out on chat servers. Wait. I was hanging out on chat servers in rooms entitled New User, Noob, Welcome, you know what I mean? Those kind of rooms. I can't remember what they were called. And I would literally just sit there and troll in this way. I would literally, every 10 minutes or so, switch back to the chat and say, does anyone need any computer help? Does anyone need any computer help? And when someone pinged me back, I would literally break off into a private chat and try to give them help over the internet, over old chat lines, just trying to help people. Because every time someone would ask me something, it was a challenge. I like challenges, period. If you want to hire me for a job, you can cut my pay as long as you challenge me. If you challenge me every day with something that I didn't know or I don't know, I love it. I think it's great. So if we get enough voicemails, especially if we get voicemails, we will do dedicated shows where it's just listener feedback response.
Yeah.
LFR, listener feedback response show.
There you go.
LTFUROUF. Whatever. Some long acronym.
LFTROULFT.
That's why you're the host. And by the way, I like that hat.
Yeah. Shout outs to Eric Ardini, a.k.a. the manager, for sending finally. I should say finally. I don't want to say finally because he said he was going to send my hat out and he got it to me. But apparently he'd been promising the rest of them to other fellows for quite some time. But for those of you who listen to Android App Addicts, by the way, I got to co-host that show 2 weeks in a row. Episodes like 190 through 194 through like 205, something like that. 204. Yeah, 10 episode run. Go check that out. Great show. I had a lot of fun. But for those of you who do listen to that show, Eric often mentions the Midwest. Is it Midwest or East Coast hardware chain? Midwest.
He got insulted when you said East Coast. He got insulted.
He can get insulted all he wants. I don't care. I still got the hat. there's a hardware store chain called Menards, and
I don't know if it's a hardware store because supposedly you can go in and buy milk.
Okay, well, whatever. It's a catch-all store for people who live out in the nowhere. Yeah. It's called Menards, and he goes, I'm going to send you guys some Menards hats. And I was like, okay. And he says, I have some. Do you still want one? I said, well, of course, I'll take one. And for whatever reason, like I thought it was going to be some like red trucker hat with Menards in white text, like cursive, like big fat, the word Menards across the top, but
with like the mesh in the back,
you know, and the big and the little snap clasp deal. But it's actually a pretty rocket little stylish hat. It looks quite modern, and I'm wearing it on the show right now, and none of you can see it
unless you're watching it.
Yeah, unless you watch live. Currently Monday nights, 8:30 p.m. Pacific, 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
See, that's why you.
That's why I'm the host.
I can't do time. Time differential might as well be quantum physics.
That's what I'm saying.
And I will say, Android App Addicts, I ain't gonna lie, guys. The show has went through a change, and it seems unanimous that there it's very mixed results. Some people say, I can't stand it. The other people say, I love it. And then there's another fraction of the people that say, nothing's changed. It's just shorter bursts.
But
one guy said he literally lets four of them build up at a time and then listens to them back to back to back to back. And he said, it's like listening to the whole show again.
Right. Yeah. For the most part, it's mainly positive. But what they did was is that they're doing five weekly shows instead of just one long show. So it's the same, if not more, content every week, just broken up into smaller chunks. And I do like it.
Yeah. Technically, most weeks, it's more content. We typically stop the show when, to be quite honest, Steve's exhausted. When Steve's exhausted, he's like, I can't do any more for the week. I can't do any more for the week. That's when we stop. So, yes, it's technically more content, and I'm going to say lots of fun, lots of different applications. Once in a while, we also throw other things in there, hardware, new OTA updates. We're bringing on, to be honest, more industry people where before we basically didn't bring them on. Big developers, CIOs of companies involved in Android software. We're literally trying to branch out. Quite honestly, there's a lot in the Android app universe, but there's even more important stuff that touch that universe. So we're just, you know, trying to have fun at the same time too. And I'll say so far, we've had very fun people on the show, which that was the one thing that scared me. We would bring on people that weren't, you know, fun.
And that's why they had me on there, because I'm a barrel of laughs.
Indeed, indeed. There's a link I want to throw out here super quick. One, I want to hear what people think about them, period. If you've used this company, you need to let me know what you think of it, okay? It's called Armor Shark or Armor's Hark.
It's Armor Shark. Come on.
I know. It's Armor Shark. I will say there is a similar service out there that offers near on-demand servers hosted on SSD drives, you know, with RAM and terabytes and this and that. But they're a little bit more open with their hosting. Trying to remember the name of the other one. They're the ones that told us that they would advertise with us because our numbers were honest and we didn't reach enough people.
Well, regardless, there are a number of these type of solutions out there. But this one, well, first of all, whenever...
Digital Ocean.
Yeah,
Digital Ocean.
Shout out to Digital Ocean.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say shout outs, but...
Not...
I don't want anything to do with them, period. I'm done with them. They're dead to me. And I would like to look at maybe possibly propositioning this company as being a sponsor on the show. Because the competition's good.
It is.
And what they're offering... in most cases, is cheaper than DigitalOcean, but it's the same basic technology, except it's more open source. They actually post a little bit more stuff back to the community, so I like them for that.
I'm just all about any company that has a shark in their logo.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
I mean, you know, if the... Yeah, I'm all for it, and we should reach out to them. But yeah, if you guys do use Armor Shark, let us know what you think of it, because we would like some community feedback before we possibly try to get them as a sponsor. So,
yeah, because honestly, it's one of the companies that, to me, I think, you know, we're gonna have to hop on the community before they get too popular, and dare I say, raise their rates. You know, like right here, you can get for $20 a month, which I know is more than DigitalOcean, but you get more power. You get 2 gigs of RAM, 4 cores. DigitalOcean, you get 1 core. You get 4 cores. You get 40 gigabyte on SSD. You get a 1 gigabyte uplink port, which that's pretty snappy. Also, you get 3 terabytes of bandwidth for $20. This to me seems like the perfect solution for people who are wanting to develop and not get surprised cost. To them. This to me, I just really like the look of it. I really like the feel of it. I really like everything I've heard about them so far, but I want listeners to tell me if they've had experience.
Very good.
Yeah. And they have a shark in their logo. Yes. Now this next link, Ryan Ridenhour. Yeah, if you haven't heard the name before, you obviously have not listened to this show that much. Ryan Ridenhour, long time supporter of the show. Very long time supporter of the show. A genuinely really nice guy. Okay, period. He was one of the first guys to tell me about Linux Academy. Spoke very high of him. He also started his own hosting company at Mad Monkey Hosting. He also now dropped this one on me, and he did it almost nonchalantly. And I'm like, dude, you got to stop just dropping these things on me. You got to tell me about them when you find them, okay? We've all used bookmarking solutions, whether Delicious.
Xmarks.
Xmarks, thank you. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different solutions out there. Everything from ProtoPage, which was like a 2002 tool, up to just flat static bookmarks in your browser itself. And yes, you can now sync them across browsers, whatever. Okay. This one I like for a different reason, though. Okay. This one's called Walla Bag, WallaBag, formerly known as, I'm guessing that's Pooch, P-O-C-H-E, but it looks kind of like Porsche without the R.
It could be Pooche.
I'll go with Poosh because I'm scared. Here's the gimmick. Here's the big gimmick. Okay, this to me was the clenching moment, which told me I'm going to have to try this. It is a self-hostable application for saving web pages. I download the code. I put it on the server. I own that instance. I then download the plugins or add-ons for my Chrome or my Firefox, or I download my Android app. I point them at my server. I own that server. This is not some other corporate server. This is not somebody gathering stats and selling it back to people and offering me a service for free. This is something where I own the server. Okay. That to me is becoming a more and more vital part of my solutions, because I'm now, to my technical title at work, solutions architect. And what I'm learning is I've been a solution architect the whole time, because it's very key now in most of my decisions. What's the end game? What's the long-term result of this? And if I own the code, I have much higher probability of deciding when to move on myself. And not because a company closes its doors, or they're sold to Google, or they're sold to Yahoo, or whatever, but I actually control it. So I'm very tempted to give this a shot.
Well, and having control of it, or just simply knowing that it's a more focused, potentially smaller company that treats it as like their main or flagship product, you're more likely to really not just dip your toe in, but use it as a daily driver for storing this kind of data. This is actually brought by Ryan. Thank you again, Ryan. In a Google Plus question I had thrown out to the community, because I was going back and forth between Chrome and Firefox quite a bit, looking for a way to store my bookmarks. And I got some great responses from quite a few guys. And but yeah, this one really stood out for all of the reasons that Dor just mentioned.
Yeah, I just love, because I like still use my tiny RSS, and I still use it because I control it. It's not that I really rely on it now, even. I just use it because I can use it. It's a nice, simple way for me to just sort through my RSS feeds. What I'm hoping is I'm going to install this and give it a play on a local server as a test bed. I'm really hoping I can create multiple accounts or multiple categories on it. Because to be honest, what I would like to do is say, okay, here's Dor's bookmarks. These are categorized as Linux command line. These are categorized as retro games. These are categorized as Android apps. And then what I would really like is, hypothetically, Cody could join and see my Linux bookmarks, but have his own bookmarks as well. Josh could connect to it, have his own account, have his own bookmarks, but he could see my Android selections kind of thing. I would really like it if there's just a skosh, just a sprinkling of a little bit of socialness to it, because that would just be another kicker on the top of it. I don't know yet. He literally just sent this the other day. Haven't had time to play with it yet, but I'm going to give it a shot. And I believe I can actually get an account through them and test theirs out before I actually go and install it myself. I think. I'm not positive. I don't know.
Well, we will try it, and then I report back in probably a couple of weeks. Give us that long, guys, to give it a try.
I
threw that out there, got a lot of great responses from the community, because what I was using, Pocket, you know, getpocket.com, for certain articles, but then I just found myself throwing everything in there, and now my Pocket feed is just like, it's just ridiculous. I mean, it's not even just articles anymore. It's just like, I'm going to do this page. But with all the distro hopping I've been doing lately and like going back and forth between, you know, multiple devices, I needed to find something that was going to be able to be, you know, cross-compatible with a number of different browsers and devices. And this looks like it may be it. So we'll give it a shot.
Yeah. And I will say, okay, we just had the product manager on from StumbleUpon on Android App Addicts. And I'm no doubt in my mind, there's a bunch of people out there who think, StumbleUpon, that was so 15 years ago or whatever. They literally laugh at the idea of StumbleUpon. But let me tell you something, people. There's few services out there that let me categorize things as neatly and easily as StumbleUpon. Gitpocket, you can basically dump it into there, and then you can make tags after the fact, but it's not incredibly smooth, and it's not incredibly easy to share out. This kind of service is needed where you can more tightly group things that you want to save and not just have a big bucket. Because with Gitpocket, you can tag them. I personally find it to be a lot of work. So I still use Gitpocket for certain things.
Yeah.
But I need something neater, cleaner, tighter.
Mm-hmm. Faster, better, stronger.
Yeah, $6 million man.
There you go. Ask. We can rebuild him.
Yes.
We have the technology.
Somebody does. Yeah. I don't have much technology.
I have a bunch of broken computers in my garage. We could probably rebuild him, like, you know, 60s version of him, 70s version of him. But compared to what they could do nowadays, yeah. If I only had a 3D printer.
If only you had a 3D printer. I know. I'm sorry. You don't have one yet. But there is something else that you could have. And this one actually comes from Matt Williams, a.k.a. Lord D. I will say I also love when somebody I consider a friend just inadvertently drops links. And that and Ryan did it. Matt also did it. Okay. We all know, we all have to know, okay, bombarded. I was literally at a conference today, okay? It was I'm not going into details. I was at a conference today where the Internet of Things was one of the biggest mentioned things, of course, besides cloud, okay? Long story short, Internet of Things just means a lot more things with a lot more IP addresses on them. Hypothetically, my computers have IP addresses, my Rokus have IP addresses, my Chromecast has IP addresses, and they, of course, want your refrigerator. This is the one that's been gone down in the annals of history. Your refrigerator will be able to tell you when you're low on milk. Well, it needs an IP address to tell you that, and that's going to be an Internet of Things. Your toaster can tell you when your toast pops. Well, that's an Internet of Things. Your dishwasher can tell you when the cycle's done. Well, that's an Internet of Things because that's an IP address. Your clothes washer can tell you when it's done. Well, because it has an IP address. It's basically everything having an IP address, okay? That's all it really means. Okay, we go back in the annals of time and Linux for the rest of us. One of the main reasons why Linux is successful is because it's so modular and scalable. Okay, if we're talking about quite possibly in the future, 80%+ of the things on the internet being stupid low-powered devices, you're probably not going to have a Microsoft stack running on them. You're probably not going to have a iOS stack running on them. Unless, of course, you're a billionaire and you can afford all that expensive hardware. I'm just saying. So we come back to two things possibly being on them, Linux and BSD. Okay, period. That's it. And here's one that Matt stumbled across. Maybe not stumbled upon, but he stumbled across it and he shared it out. I can safely say I've never heard of this. It's called Contiki. Contiki. And it's a 11+ year old product, I'll say. Okay. Piece of software that specializes in being network aware and super small. That is essentially like two out of the three main things you want on the Internet of Things devices. So this operating system has an insane head start, okay? Because no matter how good you make a piece of software in-house, when you put it live, bugs are always going to come out, period. Always. You don't believe me? Look at Patch Tuesday on Microsoft, okay? That's what it is. It's just bugs coming out. This has been in the works for 11 years. I have to believe a lot of the bugs have been brought to light, okay? It wouldn't be shocked if in 3 years, whenever we say the Internet of Things, we're actually talking about devices running Contiki. I'm going to say that.
Yeah, as more of these devices, you know, start making their way into homes in more affordable fashions, which they've already started, and start to communicate with each other, things like this will become essential.
Yeah. Yeah. And it looks like it actually started out as being like a simulation environment. And if you ever you're doing a simulation on a computer, it always has to run secondary because you have an operating system running, which I think led it down the path of being super minimalistic. So I would say this is really interesting. I'm going to say looking at the history of it's kind of amazing for it to be around that long, to be that mature, even though this whole Internet of Things is really a new idea.
And it'll become more commonplace in you know, months, if not years to come. So,
yeah, absolutely. I'm going for the hat trick.
Okay? Here we go.
Actually, I'm not.
Oh,
I'm
come lying. On.
I already got the hat. I already got the hat trick because the armor shark came from Jonathan Nadeau. How's
there
that?
There you go.
So that was already the hat trick. This is the bump.
So are you afraid that you just can't stop that? Because that's not the door-to-door geek.
No. That's the ridiculous part. What I'm about to say, in my mind, double tops it, okay?
But here's the thing. I just want to point this out. Based on the release schedule of this episode, this may be the last time you can do a hat trick on Olix for the rest of this episode during the current NHL season. So why not just go for it?
Okay, because I don't know when it starts or ends, the NHL season.
Well, it's in the finals right now.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yes, okay, you're right.
So what are we going for?
Nothing I doubted you. The turkey hat trick?
Okay, that's good enough.
I don't know. Okay. Okay. One of the biggest gripes I have is I don't subscribe to any video podcast at all. And it's partially because I don't have the time to sit there with my arms crossed watching a video. Okay. I just don't, for the most part. And when I say that, I don't mean I don't have the time to do it. I don't have the constant daily time to do it. You know what I mean? Every couple nights I can sit down and watch something. I don't like having my video stuff build up and then I know when I sit down, well, I have to watch this. I like the audio podcast because I can just listen to it whenever. I can be driving to work. I can be folding clothes. I can be doing laundry. I can be doing whatever. This is something that I've been thinking about for a while and I thought it had to exist, but I wasn't sure. And then I can't even say this name. Nathan Sal. Salapats. That's horrible. I know I just killed it. Salapats.
I closed the tab by accident. Nathan Salapat.
Okay,
yeah,
good. Nathan Salapat. Okay. Fine. I'll say this. Okay, Ryan Ridenhour on Google+, really, honestly, dare I say, fun guy to follow. Lord D, Matthew, I never remember his name. Matthew Williams on Google+. Unbelievably cool guy to follow. The links he pings you with as the public is really cool. Dare I say, Nathan does the same thing. Once in a while, he just hits me with a link that I'm just like, what? And it's just really cool. Okay. This is on his own personal blog. This is the real reason why I'm bringing this link. Nathan has honestly made me happy a lot of times in the past with his links. This was just the coup de grace link. Okay. It's a simple script you can initiate. Okay, and by simple script, I mean it's literally like 3 lines long, okay, literally. It lets you automatically, via a script, or you can do it via a cron task, download the latest YouTube videos from a YouTube channel, okay? This is step one. So what I can do is I can literally take my channels that I like on YouTube, put them in this, download them, and then I can use two pieces of software after this, okay? And this can all be scripted, I'm pretty sure, fairly easy. I'm going to try to find the time to do this one. Seriously, I'm going to try to find the time to do this one. But I can't share the content, I'm pretty sure. I'll get to that at the end. It's using YouTube.dl, which I've been saying for years is the best YouTube downloader, period. People keep saying, what browser plugin should I use to download YouTube video? Easy. None of them. Period. Okay? Use Linux, and you can even use, I'm 99% sure, YouTube DL on Android. There's a trick to it. But so it's just a command line, YouTube-DL. You can basically, in the script, put in the channel, like youtube.com/user/door-to-door-geek. Okay, that's my channel. You put that in there, then you can use something like Sox, S-O-X, to change the video file to an audio file, whether you pick MP3, OGG, whatever, okay? The last piece of software I've heard about from a guy, and I got to get the link to this other one. Kevin Wisher, to be honest, was the first guy that told me about this piece of software. I haven't heard anyone else mention it ever, and I don't know why. It's called Podget, P-O-D-G-E-T. It labels itself as a simple podcast aggregator. But in fact, you can also do the inverse. You can actually use this command line application to create RSS feeds for content already existing on that same computer. So I can use Nathan's YouTube-DL script. I can use Sox, a free command you can download in Linux, S-O-X, and then Podget. And in the three, I can download video file, convert the video to audio, create the RSS file, and then simply automatically FTP upload this to my public-facing server. So it, hypothetically, doordoorgeek.com/custom feeds, I can have an RSS feed there that has all of my YouTube channels automatically aggregating to an audio RSS feed that I can download and play on demand.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I really don't want to sound like a lazy somebody, but it's just a question of time. That quite literally is all it comes down to. I just need to find the time to where I can weasel in a little bit of quiet time to where I can figure out the exact SOX command to put in to do a conversion. Because if you download any Podnuts content and analyze it in Audacity even, you will notice there's certain audio effects going on of leveling and file size kind of thing. I would like to do the same thing for this, because anything I'm downloading over my 3G, 4G network, I would like to keep at a lower number just in case I have to, dare I say, leave my unlimited data. Because it could happen. I don't control everything in my universe, and I might have to leave that plan soon, so I got to prepare for it.
Well, anything could happen, you know. According to Martin Rambo Obando, a.k.a. MBO, we could step off a curb and get hit by a bus tomorrow. It doesn't mean it's going to happen.
I know, but I don't want to get hit by a bus.
Well, neither do I. But, man, well, unlimited data is sweet. Unlimited data from a certain carrier, a.k.a. your carrier. I don't know.
I was seriously thinking, could I go on eBay or something and literally sell my account off, because not everybody has unlimited data anymore, and that literally has a value to it, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh no, it totally does. Yeah. Now this is a much longer conversation for a much different show, but but yeah, they have different ways of getting around that. Let's just say I've investigated it.
Okay. Well, it's a thing.
I know.
So I'm going to try to do it. I'm going to try to get it set up. And if I do, I don't mind sharing my feed with friends. You know what I mean? I'll say that, but I can't let everyone access it, because there's no doubt in my mind there's no content I can freely download from YouTube and redistribute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure the license is not, you know, copacetic
right
towards that. But it's cool. So yeah, honestly, I cannot thank enough Jonathan Nadeau. I think he literally like gets off on pinging me about things I don't know of yet. And I do. He's right. I get off on it too. So Jonathan pinged me on the Armor Shark. Ryan Ridenhauer pinged me on the Wallabag, which I also think is a great name. Lord D hit me off on the Kon-Tiki. And then Nathan got my brain juices flowing on YouTube-DL.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it's been a very good week. It's been a very mentally busy week, I'll say that.
Yeah, you have lots of good content. Please, please keep coming.
Yeah. Then I saw this, and it just made my brain shake, rattle. It's like my brain like went into a
seizure. Yeah, I saw this too. This is awesome.
Well, it's awesome, but the main reason I'm bringing it to the show is this utterly hits home with a hammer, with a nail through the head. Software is software. Software is not good. Software is not bad. Software is software. What you do with it determines on whether it's quote-unquote good or quote-unquote bad. And yes, I just did two back-to-back quote-unquotes. It's all dependent on the person using the software, whether it determines whether it's not good or bad. Open source, by default, has a greater possibility of being good, but also has a greater possibility of being bad. The only difference is we probably are going to know its possibilities before it happens. And here's a good example. Net-security.org. I can say I've never even seen this site because I am in generally security anemic. But this also comes with a stream of audio, which of course that meant I'm going to have to listen to it. And the title's called Replicating NSA's Gadgets Using Open Source. A what? That's just literally brain going. Because there's no doubt in my mind. 98%+ of everything that we saw in that catalog, that magic catalog of NSA hacks, was all based on open source software. None of it was based on Microsoft. None of it was based on Apple. None of it was based on OS2 Warp. I mean, no, it's all going to be based on open source software because that's the software that they can, that's designed for them to pull down and edit themselves, make it do exactly what they want to do. So after reading it and after thinking about it, it makes perfect sense, mm-hmm. You know, and scary. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if basically with enough ingenuity and enough know-how, you could definitely replicate these items.
Yeah. And he basically says this is a podcast that got re-recorded at. I don't know if it's a genuine podcast per se, but if it is, I'm going to probably subscribe to the RSS feed. It's a clip of audio taken from the Hack in a Box Amsterdam, or HITB, conference at 2014, Hack in the Box Amsterdam. And it has a genuine audio clip with it, but it also has a link to a PDF stack of slides, which I'm going to say, if I'm at any hacker, if I'm at any website instigating security and then hacking, and then it links to a PDF, I'm going to always be a little bit hesitant linking on that PDF, okay? Because there's nothing more vulnerable in the universe than Adobe software. So if I have a link to a PDF, makes me think, is this just a test? Huh?
Right.
So, you know, I go in the family computer and click it.
Yeah, why risk it just in case?
Yeah, and if you know, that computer messes up, I can always just blame them.
There you go. Honey, what have you been doing? The computer's running all slow.
Yeah. Yep, must be that Minecraft.
Yeah. Billy, Danny, yep. Get in here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this next one is at eweek.com, which everyone has at least once in a while stumbled across eweek.com, okay? This, I don't want to say is the home... I don't want to say it's the home run I was looking for, but this is something that I expected had to happen. Absolutely, positively, unequivocally was inevitable. It was fate, okay? Docker, I don't know anything. I've not seen anything since Compiz in Linux get as much buzz than Docker. Docker is, in my opinion, designed, created with enterprise goals in mind, okay? Where Compiz was designed to make somebody go, ooh, that's cool, I want that. How do I get that? Docker is designed to make Linux boxes far more superior in isolation. I call it compartmentalized isolation and virtualization. It's really just virtualization, but it's done in a little bit differently. And it basically, Docker 1.0 was literally released today. Today is when Docker 1.0 was released, and it provides more enterprise support for container virtualization. It's only going to get more and more and more popular, and Docker is now offering, in their 1.0 release, here's the one thing I want to say, it's now offering commercial support for the boot to Docker technology, which can enable Docker for Mac OS X and Windows users as well. Here's the whole kicker. In my humble opinion, if Docker works on Linux, it can be successful. If Docker can work on Windows, Mac, or Linux, it has insanely higher possibilities of being more successful and to draw system administrators and higher-end users and higher-end services to run on Linux. Because there's little doubt in my mind. While Docker looks like boot to Docker can work on Mac OS X and Windows, it's going to work better on Linux. Because if I read this right, this isn't for virtualizing Mac and Windows, but to run Docker on Mac and Windows, if I read this right. And it's only going to get more and more popular. I'm scared in 3 years to see how big Docker is.
Yeah, I mean, we had the pleasure of talking to one of the developers at NELF this past year, or this year, excuse me. And just from the general description of the project, you kind of get excited. But to see them really, really reach out and give really solid enterprise support, it's just going to, I'm positive it's just going to blow up soon.
Yeah, it's just going to be one of those things. All of a sudden, every enterprise job that can is going to mention Docker. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, it's just very cool technology. And I'll say, just like anything else, Linux, it doesn't cost you anything to try it. It doesn't cost you anything to play with it. It doesn't cost you anything to learn it. And it doesn't cost you anything to become an expert at it. All of the information and resources you need are out there, docker.com. That's your first point. If you want to work in 3 to 5 years as a Linux professional, turn this podcast off. Unsubscribe from this podcast. Unsubscribe from every podcast. Turn off the television set. Learn Docker. Guarantee you in less than 3 years, you'll be making well more than my money, much more than the money I'm bringing into my house right now. And you'll be doing it logging in to a Linux workstation or server. And if you do have to use Windows at work, I guarantee you at home, you can log into Linux and connect to your enterprise architecture and do everything you need from your Linux box without worrying about getting a infection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I said that.
He did, and I just heard it, and it's recorded.
Mm-hmm. I don't care.
Somebody better put a Bible under your hand because you just testified.
Yeah. Two more quickies here. I don't know about you. I'm tired. Okay. Podnuts is running on Drupal. More than a couple people out there, friendly, and nice people, tell me how I'm very wrong and I should be running everything on WordPress. You know, six of one, half dozen of another. I'm not going to say who's right and who's wrong because there is no right and wrong. The site works right now. Okay. Right now, there's a key difference between Drupal and WordPress. That is, WordPress has inline updates where you can update through a button, or you can even set it to automatically install updates when they come down. Drupal doesn't have that. Drupal does not have that at all. Drupal is painful to upgrade, painful to update. When it comes to core functionality, Drupal used to, in my opinion, have a clear advantage. Now it's much closer. They're really neck and neck when it comes to features, add-ons, plugins, and in some ways, WordPress leads. But in the next 30, 60 days or so, Drupal 8 is going to hit, I believe, its final alpha. Drupal 8 is supposed to have all those features. Everything that differentiates Drupal from WordPress or from WordPress from Drupal, Drupal is going to have. That's what they say. You'll be able to one-click import from Drupal 6 and Drupal 7 to Drupal 8, and you'll be able to click and update, just like you do in WordPress. And the Australian government, I think, is an example that Drupal is not dead, is not dying, but in fact, people have optimism in it, not just me. I got enamored on Drupal years ago, so I could believe that maybe I'm just, you know, using my blinders and seeing how good everything is, but seeing an entire country go to Drupal, I think it's a very good thing. Over at techworld.com.au, which that makes it officially Australian, right?
Of course. There's no way to spoof that.
Exactly. It's impossible.
That's right.
The article is entitled Australian Government Will Go to Drupal and Public Cloud to Drive GovCMS. GovCMS is a national initiative to basically redo everything underneath one umbrella. This is a bold initiative, okay? It's a really bold initiative. And I literally had to read that, like, literally, Cody, 15 times. To make sure it didn't say Austria and that it in fact did say Australian or Australia. I'm not going to lie. I literally had to read it like 5 times to be sure.
Okay.
But it is Australian. Austria. Not, you know what I mean? Now I'm getting myself confused. Okay, whatever. I'm just going to stop saying that word. I will tell a lot of people out there, hear me now, believe me later. if Drupal does what it says it's going to do, and you can go look at the official Drupal.org website where it talks about Drupal 8, if they are going to do what they say they're going to do, by this time next year, I expect Drupal to have gained a lot of market share. I'm not going to say WordPress is going to lose any, okay? But Drupal is going to gain a whole lot more. And this, people, if you haven't figured it out yet, write it down. Episode 160, Door Likes Competition and Disruption. If Drupal does what it says it's going to do, it's going to drive the competition between these two through the roof. WordPress, they haven't played with gloves for a long time. In fact, they have brass knuckles. WordPress is looking to knock everyone's teeth out, okay? That's how strong they're hitting. I seriously think this is going to be a super heavyweight knockout contest if Drupal does what it says it's going to do. And we, as participants, as viewers of this event, are going to benefit, period. We are going to have such innovation and such solid choices to pick from. It's just going to be fun, dare I say.
Yeah, I'm looking into putting some sites up soon, and then you and I had spoke about this earlier, about learning Drupal 7. You're like, well, Drupal 8's around the corner, and it has all these features. It's like, oh, well, yeah. So, sounds like a win-win to me.
Yeah, I believe if you go to, for some reason, it's a gloriously easy site to remember, drupal.org/drupal-8.0. Just rolls off the tongue. That's their quote-unquote official page where they link to the blog, the official blog and everything else. I really have insanely insanely high expectations. But I'm just reading what they're saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm just repeating what they're saying.
Regardless.
So it could be cool.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. One more I'm going to throw out there. It's really a quickie. Opensource.com, which I'm not sure if Klaatu still writes for them or not. They're still a good site. I'll say that. Everything I've seen from them, I really do like and respect. A shorter article. Hallelujah. So I'm going to say hallelujah. It's not one of them click through 15 pages article. It's a short article. It's one page, actually. And it's entitled The Salt After Linux Professional. Okay. If someone either is in Linux and doesn't understand why they're not a true Linux professional, or someone's looking at future career possibilities and they literally want to look at the possibility of being a Linux professional, I highly encourage you to just at least read this. This is not a long read, okay? I could read it in, I'm a slow reader, 20 minutes, okay, because I'm slow. Everyone else will be 5 minutes. They go through a couple things here that I think are very important. Being the best mechanic does not involve just turning a wrench, okay? Being the best quarterback is not just the guy who can throw the ball the best, okay? There's a lot more that goes into mastering the craft, I'm going to say. The number one thing that they say that I kind of agree with is you have to know what Linux can and cannot do. You have to know the possibilities and the limitations of the tools that you're using, period. You can't fudge them. You can't play with them. If someone says they want to run something very specific, you have to know whether or not that's going to run on Linux or not. And if it can't, you cannot say that it will, and you cannot try to shove it on and say it will. It's going to be painful for everyone. Enterprises need things done quick, and if you know it's going to work, it's much better to know that ahead of time than trying to find out later. So you got to know what Linux can and cannot do. And it says more than a couple of things in here that you really need to. You really need to look at this. You really need to read it. I think it's a real level-headed approach on what makes a Linux professional sought after. Because to me, it's kind of both ways. It's kind of a play on words. It's not only telling you about the sought after Linux professional, but it's telling you how to be sought after.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just a good little quick read.
Worst case scenario, I mean, if you're thinking either by breaking into the field itself or just diversifying your already existing skill set, this is going to give you a better idea as far as what maybe to kind of fold into your day-to-day and focus on your knowledge base in order to make yourself a better professional in the long term.
Mm-hmm. Perfect example. What can Linux do? YouTube-DL. That's what it can do. It can do that great.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't work too well if Microsoft had a streaming video service.
You watch your mouth.
I know.
Never mind. You're contagious, Door. I'm starting to hate on Microsoft live on the air.
Hey, it's easy. In fact, the conference I was at today, they had a Microsoft booth. A Microsoft booth. I walked by and I just looked at the guys, two of them. I said, why do you even need a booth? You're Microsoft. And they started to say something. I just put my hands up and I pointed down to their Surface things. I said, they're cute. Do they still click? And I just walked away.
Okay.
You know.
Well,
I know.
Quite the full docket this week, Dor. Thank you for bringing the all of them, actually. Very cool. All right.
No problem. And I was going to say, just super quick follow-up to what you said last week. You were talking about the Steam sale.
Yeah.
I think I read something that said, now on Linux, now, they're not 500 AAA titles, people, but now on Linux, there's 500 things on their Steam library. Now, I know not all of them are games, per se. Some of them might be add-ons. Some of them might be soundtracks. I don't even know. But now you want to talk about milestones. That's a milestone to me.
It is. And that's not to say that, you know, the majority of the items available on Steam altogether for Windows are, you know, full-fledged games. I mean, some of them are smaller games. Some of them are add-on packs. You know, some of them are big AAA titles. Some of them are indie titles. But honestly, this is my honest opinion anymore. When it comes to the games that you play, don't even give a second thought as to what someone else thinks about the game. That doesn't mean anything. You need to find what you want, play it on the platform that you want, and if it's bringing you joy, and if you think that your time is well spent, then, you know, haters be damned. Play it on whatever you want to play, because at the end of the day, that's your entertainment time. Right. That being said,
if that Steam controller gets you excited, then look at getting a Steam controller.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Whatever platform, whatever hardware you want to use, I mean, dude, you know, if you want to play keyboard mouse versus controller, fine. If you want to use, you know, if you're playing a arcade fighting game, if you want to play arcade stick versus gamepad, fine. Don't let others' judgments, much like anywhere else in life, dictate how you're going to walk your own life. Yeah. But yeah, big milestone, 500 different titles available for Steam on Linux, which is great. In just over a year, that's taken place. So I can't wait to see where we're going to be at in another year. But if you guys haven't listened to the last episode, 159, definitely do it, because we talked about some of the bigger titles, the AAA titles that are coming to Steam on Linux within the next 3 or 4 months. So definitely check that out.
And I did do that. I did do that car racing thing.
Oh, Distance.
Distance. Yeah.
Oh my god, that game looks so awesome. It looks so awesome. Yeah. I still gotta do my. I still gotta get in on the beta for that. But I had things come up. But yeah, that's definitely one of the number one games I look forward to.
You'll have that. Just another stupid side note. Ryan Ridenhour, again, months ago, put this link out there and on Google+, and he called it the wrong name as well, which now I'm constantly calling it the wrong name as well. I want to say it's called Screencast. It's an application. It only works on 1404. Doesn't work on 1204. So this is kind of like the nudge factor that now I'm getting to upgrade some of my boxes. I'm upgrading one of my boxes. I literally, right as the show started, I did a force command on my 1204 box. I did sudo -do -release -upgrade -d. And it did a force upgrade on my 1204 up to 1404, basically jumping versions. It might work. It might not. I'm not quite sure yet. But if it does work, I'm going to try to play around and maybe make a couple videos.
Oh, very cool.
See how it looks. Because it's a screen capture tool, but at the same time, it automatically puts your webcam down in the corner, which is what a lot of Windows software
does. Oh, very nice. Yeah. That is great, dare I say, for gaming reviews.
Especially if it works, mm-hmm. Yes. Well, yes, but I will say, if you listen to Venstone, LinuxGamecast.com, there's only one way to properly record higher quality, full screen Linux gaming video. I can't remember what it is, but I'm pretty sure it's really intensive on your hardware, like really intensive on your hardware. So I don't do that. So I'll do it this way.
Shout outs to the Cocaine Voltron aka the team of Linux Gamecast Weekly. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oh, and Pedro got a job, so now I don't have to hear him say he doesn't have a job anymore.
Oh, man.
Or no, he thinks he got a job. He has to wait a month. So I got a couple more episodes of him saying.
Well, I'm two episodes behind, so you kind of spoiled it for me.
Sorry.
That's fine. I don't watch sports, so I don't when people spoil the game for me, it's not really spoiling. So I shouldn't say I don't watch sports. I'm starting to watch some soccer, and I do watch hockey. For some people, that just doesn't count.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. Wait, I don't know.
Whatever. Yeah, well, I got a funny sports story I'll tell you post-show. And if it's funny enough, maybe I'll bring it next episode.
All right. Cool.
Door, now we're ending off. I'll also post this on social media. We can post this on social media, too. We are thinking about if we're going to just continue to get correspondence. And trust me, those guys who are regular contributors as far as emails and voicemails, I'm talking like Ryan, Spaceman Pete, Ashley Anderson, Father of the Year, 2012, or was it 2013? Yeah, it was 2013. Yeah. He's in one. Oh, by the way, Ashley. Well, actually, I'll read that on the next show. Okay. But we would like a lot more voicemails and emails. And if we're going to continue to get a constant stream of them, then yeah, we will do. And you just go ahead and branch off and do a second show. That way we can bring extra content and kind of pack it in the main show and then have a second show that we'll do weekly. Dedicated to just kind of community outreach for like the rest of us. So once again, if you would like to send a voicemail, send that to 7076PODNUT. That is 707-676-3688. You call that. That's a Google Voice number. Just leave a voicemail, preferably as close to 60 seconds or less if you can. If you go a little over, that's fine. Just please don't leave a 3 or 4 minute message. Do not hesitate to call multiple weeks in a row and leave us smaller messages. We will play them, I promise you. We played the voicemail today because it was the last one in our queue. We do appreciate that. If you want to send an email, please send it to podcast@linuxfortherestofus.com. And between those two, I'm not sure we can hear from our community, which is stronger. I would dare say the strongest it's ever been. We do really appreciate you guys listening to us.
Yeah, and I'll say, honestly, just saying, for best results, if you have a bunch of things to say, if you send multiple smaller voice messages, it's much easier for us to listen to and respond to instead of trying to remember everything from beginning to end. Smaller bite-sized chunks are welcome.
Most definitely. All right, Dor, where can we find you online?
Easiest place is Google Plus, Stephen McLaughlin, or you can just go to podness.com, click on the contact, send me an email. I always respond to email. It might take me a day, but I always will.
A couple of days. His mailbox is quite big. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, please also hit me up on Google Plus, just Cody Cooper. That's CodyCooper. I'm on there quite a bit. Posting all sorts of fun stuff, but I would like to interact with the community a little bit more. We're working on some kind of a social media revamp of PodNuts, so we'll have some announcements coming soon from that. If you want to send me an email directly, just send it to cody@podnuts.com. I will answer it in the order that it is received. And as always, please go to the acf.co. That's the website for the Accessible Computing Foundation, who is bringing digital sight to those who need it, people with disabilities. Our good friend Jonathan T. Nato is heading up that organization in order to help develop assisted software technology to help a group of people who otherwise have been left behind. And he is implementing a lot of that technology into his custom Linux distribution, Sonar. And you can go to sonargnulinux.com for more information. We will also have a link in the show notes where if you would like to help Jonathan seed his current torrent for that distribution, I mean, you definitely need the help. It is based off of Manjaro Linux, which itself is based off of Arch. So it's a very stable system, and it's a worthwhile cause. If you would like to contribute to the Accessible Community Foundation, you can do so for as little as $2 a month as a recurring donation, or you can make regular donations, however, or whatever denomination you would like. I've been a regular contributor for almost 2 years now, and I got to tell you, every single time I see that money come out of my account, I know that it's going to a good man that's using it to award a good cause. We really do appreciate your work there, sir. And if you are going to be shopping online at all on Amazon, you can use our referral link that's podness.com/Amazon. If you use that referral link before you go shopping on Amazon, you're not going to see any difference on the website. You're not going to pay any extra fees. It's just simply by using that little referral link, we do get a little bit of a cut of that sale, which does help the network. We do have fees and costs involved with keeping everything going. That definitely does help keep it going. So we would appreciate any help if you could use that. It would be much appreciated. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and sign off for the evening. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. We're really looking forward to that correspondence from you. And please remember that Linux is not just for the rest of us. It is for all of us. Good night.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.